Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm so over it.
Okay, right, it seems to be going.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Okay, I'll start again.
Sorry.
No, it's just awful. These are fucking awful.
These episodes are awful.
This podcast is fucking awful. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Goes Without Saying. I'm Seffi.
And I'm Wing.
I want to do that all again. I'm doing it all over again. I despise. Oh, now there's someone at my door, but we're just gonna go.
Doorbell. Okay. You sure?
Yeah, we're gonna go.
Okay.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Goes Without Saying. I'm Seffi.
And I'm Wing, Goes Without Saying. Although it doesn't, because you do get us confused.
It really doesn't go without saying. And today we're talking about imposter syndrome. It's a weird fucking episode. We didn't know we were recording this today, but turns out we are. So thank you so much to everyone that wrote in kind of last minute. This is a fun episode. I'm really happy with this episode.
Me too. You'll hear the drums that we had. Janie and Mac, did we have drums? But it was worthwhile in the end.
Yeah. This is Seffi and Wing and Jim Carrey's podcast on imposter syndrome. This is kind of an impromptu episode from us.
Yeah, I mean, we're right on schedule. We do need to record an episode and you will hear it on Monday. Yeah. Like, everything from the outside is completely fine, like, going along with the format, but we are just bringing a lot of chaos.
It's just internally chaos.
Yeah. So shall we chat about that?
Yeah, so yesterday we sat down.
For hours.
It was a lovely sunny day and we sat down via FaceTime for hours and recorded a lovely episode for you that was expected on FOMO.
Feeling left out, feeling all alone, feeling like you're going to miss out on something. You know what FOMO is, I'm not going to get into it.
And we got to the very end of that episode and we just thought, did we like that?
That was a fucking shit episode.
It wasn't shit. It was just fine. It was just so... like, you'd listen to that and just go, yeah, it wasn't their best.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy with that.
No, we're not having that. No. No, it's just not right.
It is the imposter syndrome kicking in. Yeah. And it is the perfectionism kicking in. But...
it's not good enough for my king. Sorry. We don't serve scraps.
And then we sat down today and we're like, right, okay, let's re-record. It's FOMO time. We're talking again about FOMO. We just thought, fuck this.
Yeah, it just wasn't happening for us. Today we're talking about imposter syndrome because it's so topical for us right now, I think. Well, definitely for me.
Well, we were just talking about it like before, like, and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, wait, why don't we just talk about imposter syndrome today? Clearly we have a lot of fire for this
talk
topic.
About what we're talking about right now. Yeah. We're kind of having our great conversation now. And then as soon as we turn the microphone on, we'll have a shit conversation. No way.
About FOMO, which we don't. The whole episode, I think we will do another episode on FOMO, but the whole way through the episode, we're going, personally, we don't really experience FOMO.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to because everyone's really looking forward to it. We got loads of messages saying,
we will do it.
Oh, I can't wait. Blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, oh, shit. Everyone's like, can't wait. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for you to hear it. And I was like, yeah, no, I can't wait for you to hear it. But you might be waiting for a long time.
We could release the mediocre episode.
No.
I don't want to.
Never. If we're doing one on FOMO, we'll re-record. Yeah.
But today it's imposter syndrome times. And we're having just, I think this is one of our, well, this is by far our most spontaneous episode. We've just put on the story. Quick. Everyone tell us. Quick, guys.
And you really have come through. Yeah. Quick. It really feels like you're sat right here with us. So should we get into it?
Yeah, should we talk about what we were just talking about?
Should we talk about me?
Let's talk about ourselves.
Let's talk about us. Yeah, take it away.
Well, we were just talking about like when we would feel imposter syndrome. And wait, so why don't you say the bit about that we were just talking about before, that it's like it doesn't happen necessarily when you think it would happen.
Yeah, so you made a good... So, right, let me go even back even further. We've had loads of conversations on imposter syndrome, like so many. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought that we had done a dedicated episode on imposter syndrome, but we hadn't.
No.
We haven't yet, but now we are, I guess. I remember us being on the phone, we were talking about your life, as we do, just talking about, like, your life. And you said something along the lines of, like, I don't know what it is. I just feel like right now, like, I'm just going to get found out. Like, I'm just, like, not, it's just, like, obviously I'm not good enough for it. Like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, imposter syndrome.
Yeah, you just...
Like, you literally read out the Google definition of imposter syndrome.
Looked up. Yeah, you just Googled imposter syndrome and read out the definition, you fucking idiot.
And you were like, oh yeah, fuck.
Yeah, like, I just kind of feel like I'm lying in this world. Like,
I just kind of feel like I'm like, what's the word? Like, an imposter?
Fake? A fake version of myself.
You're on thesaurus.com.
It's literally like, you're an idiot.
And then recently I've been feeling like such an imposter, which meant that I brought some bad vibes to the episode yesterday.
Some bad juju.
I brought the shade tan with me to the episode yesterday. And just, it's just the imposter times. So we just asked on the stories... and you lot just kill me because you're so fucking cute. We just asked on the stories how your imposter syndrome makes you feel and when you experience those feelings of unworthiness and all of those sorts of things. So I think we're just going to have a really deep, very real conversation.
Which is the only thing we like to do anyway, but we're going to take
exactly.
it further. It's like, fuck the fucking performance. No.
Yeah, no. We don't give that to you around here. Yeah, no. We're all here for a good time, right? I'm here for a good time, Seffi.
I am here for a spectacular time.
The best time. And I know you're here for the best time listening. So let's do it.
So what we were talking about before we started recording, was that when people talk about imposter syndrome, there's almost this idea that you get it once you've achieved great success, that it's kind of, you get it once you are standing on a stage and it's suddenly, do I deserve to be here?
After your TED talk, you're thinking, oh, I don't know how I pulled that off. That was such a fluke. I can't believe they actually listened to me, blah, blah, blah.
But that's not the case. That's not what happens. More often than not, I don't know, personally, I experience imposter syndrome kind of on the bus, kind of at the Sainsbury's self-checkout.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I think is a big one?
Mm.
At the gym?
Yeah, big time. It's like, oh, everyone here knows what they're doing apart from me.
And at the airport, actually.
Oh, it's just embarrassing.
It's kind of like, God, why have I've got no good reason to be here? Let me see myself out.
On that conveyor belt thing at the airport. It's like everyone else here is like definitely going to business meetings.
It's like, shit, I should not have brought my bombs with me.
I don't have no place here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not so much, oh, I'm standing on the stage or I'm going into the big man meeting and I'm the only woman in the room and I'm gonna, you know, stand my ground here. It's not then. It's
I think it is also then. Or do you not think it's then?
It's totally then. It's totally then.
Yeah.
It's not then, it's totally then.
But it's also
I think that simplifies it to it's like, oh, it's when you're achieving great success and it comes in then. It's like, no, it can be in your very, very small bitty life. It's like also
going on a walk.
At the fucking hairdressers, it's suddenly like, oh sorry, I've got everything wrong here. You actually had a dream like that last night.
I had a dream. Yeah, thanks. You just outed me.
Yeah.
I had a weird dream that I was getting my hair cut, all of it cut off, at the hairdresser's last night. I wasn't at the hairdresser's last night. I was in my dream at the hairdresser's last night.
In the hairdresser's last night, yeah.
The hairdresser woman said to me, like, can you just spray your hair, like, with this thing, like, till it's wet or whatever? And I was spraying it, and I was like, sorry, I know I'm being really annoying, but, like, is this wet enough? Like, is that okay? She was like, yeah, it's fine. And then I was spraying it. I was spraying my hair, and it was, like, the spray was, like, spraying some girl behind me. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Like, God, I'm just, God, what am I like? I'm just crazy.
It's like, I'm so sorry for my own existence in my own dream.
Yeah, I shouldn't be here.
I'm taking up too much space in here.
I'm taking up too much space in this kind of metaphysical astral realm.
Fictional dreamscape.
Yeah.
So strange. But I think that is the truth of imposter syndrome, that it, whilst it does happen, yes, in these huge sort of performing arenas that are just huge. It's like, yeah, okay, Jennifer Lawrence tripping at the Oscars definitely felt, God, what the fuck am I doing here? But also the people taking Jennifer Lawrence's photo felt, God, how did I even get here? Like, it's not just a moment. It's not the big moments in your life. You also do get it
in the day-to-day.
Fucking walking into a shop and think, sorry, I shouldn't really be here.
Do you, can we... I have not
spit it out. Go and ask me the big question.
It's going to be a trap. It's going to be great.
Well, I have not thought about this at all. It kind of just crossed my mind. But do you think there was a thing with imposter syndrome in like quarantine and those sorts of situations?
Oh, that's so interesting.
Kind of the vision of what you think you do in a pandemic, or like, I feel like people who were enjoying the first lockdown back in March, April 2020 were like, didn't want to, you know, that was a bad thing to admit or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like I think it's kind of the discomfort in your feelings, but it's like, if you're enjoying it, that's not right. Your feelings are valid. If you're enjoying it, that's not good. And if you're having a terrible time, well, that's not good enough because everyone else is dealing with it and it can't be that bad and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I definitely think I personally didn't experience it that much in lockdown, but I'm experiencing it more now coming out of lockdown. It's like, fuck, fuck, fuck. Like, let's get that performance back on. But yeah, I definitely think there was an idea that if you enjoyed that first one, which I know that both of us love, absolutely relished that time at home.
Looking back on it now, holy shit.
What a dream.
What I would do.
To be watching Tiger King for the first time with a banana bread in my hand.
It was a desperate time for me. Like, there was a lot going on, like, obviously in life. I don't know if you noticed, we were in a pandemic. There's obviously a lot going on.
Chaos.
But I think the day-to-day of it, yeah, there was something really quite peaceful about the mundane, like finding the mundane in the chaos.
I think it was the stopping. Yeah, it was kind of, there was a whole narrative of, it's okay if all you did was brush your teeth today. And it's like, always doing well then.
Shit.
I am always thriving.
If there's anything I like, it's people tapping me on the back for being mediocre.
Yeah.
I could always do with a bit more of that in my life.
So it's like, if I have a shower, it feels like, God, I'm really on top of this whole pandemic thing right now.
Good on you. Yeah.
Even though it goes without saying that it was a horrific time. I do think there is, we've spoken about it before, that weird nostalgia for that summer, almost like that March, April. It's like, oh, they weren't, there was a safety in that, even though physically terrifying, you're scared for the people you love and you're scared for the state of the fucking world, but there's something about return to the domestic sphere, as we say, that felt very comforting. It's like, oh right, I don't have to talk to fucking Bob in accounts ever again. Maybe I do, but for now, I don't fucking have to.
What, you think he's going to die of COVID?
Because I've just been furloughed, bitch. I've just been fucking furloughed and I've got a podcast to start. Let's go.
That's the thing as well, is I think that's where a lot of the... I think I agree with you. I've definitely got imposter syndrome coming out of lockdowns and situations like that, because I kind of think... I know for us, Seffi and I, we feel like different people. I'm sure you listening probably in loads of ways feel like you're a different person than you were a whole pandemic ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite scary to think, I'm reintroducing myself to the world now. It's like the last time I was out in the open, I was a different person. Like, I'm very different now. I have a different life now. And I don't know what my life looks like not in a pandemic.
Before we went into pandemic times, I think I was convinced, I spent a lot of time trying to convince myself that I was compatible with capitalism and the world, and now that I know I am just not compatible with society in a lot of ways, I don't thrive in the way that society is set up, and I don't think many people do. But now I've lost that performance, and I literally have lost the care for that. It's almost like, what, I'm not going to go back to trying to lie to myself and tell myself, no, I really think 9 to 5 really just suits my structure. No, it fucking doesn't.
No, no way.
It doesn't. It doesn't suit anyone's. Or it might be, you know.
Yeah.
What are the chances that you were born with the exact mindset that suits...
this weird world.
The thing that also suits fucking Elon Musk? No.
Gross,
no.
Yeah. Kind of your future husband in your mind.
Yeah, I don't know if I've spoken about this publicly, about my theory. I do have a theory. I don't like this theory. I do have a theory that I will marry Elon Musk.
Well, now that I think we're out opening it out, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're kind of, now that you say it, it's kind of changed the narrative.
It won't happen. Well, I don't want it to happen. I don't want it to happen. I know I don't want it to happen, but I do think...
I don't want it to happen.
When I meet Elon Musk and when we meet each other, it is over for Grimes.
Which is that a date you've got in the calendar? When I meet Elon Musk on Friday next week.
Honestly, at 2 o'clock Friday, I'm meeting Elon Musk. And I'm so sorry, Grimes, but I don't know what's going to happen. Like, poor X5 Ash, whatever, is going to be a baby from a split home.
Yeah. You're a homewrecker.
I just don't know. Like, I don't want to marry him because there's that weird thing that he marries brunette women and then they all come out the end with blonde hair. I'm not going to suit blonde hair. But I just know that I'm going to marry Elon Musk. It's just a weird thing.
But you're going to have to do it.
I know
you
I will.
You have to suck it up.
Whatever Elon wants. He's an absolute cunt. I hate him.
I love that you could marry Elon Musk and the biggest fear in your mind would be dyeing your hair.
Blonde. I don't want it.
So imposter syndrome, hey.
Mm. When do you think you experience the most imposter syndrome in life?
I do think it's in my, like, in work situations. So I just, everything you just said, I'm going to take a big shit on it. Like, I think I do think having a podcast and stuff, like, I'd be lying if I said it's really normal that I can put a story on an account that Steffi and I share on Instagram saying, quick, give us, like, your experiences, oh my God, and loads of you come back with Insta, like, that isn't normal. Like, I kind of want to DM each and every one of you and say, why on earth are you messaging little old us? Like, you've got the wrong end of the stick. Like, just scrolling through, do you know what I mean? I think it is, like, no, I'm not saying we're Kylie Jenner, but just, I think, I don't know, just a weird thing, isn't it?
It is weird. But then also, I go through phases with that anyway, of sometimes feeling like, yeah, like, I feel really on top of this space, and I feel really on top of, in some ways, the performance of it, and in some ways the complete authenticity of it, because it is very authentic.
Is.
But also I think every single thing in life is wrapped in performance. Sometimes I feel really on top of it, but then also I do think it slips in, or fuck,
can we talk about how people think that if something's not a performance it means that it's ugly?
So interesting. Yeah,
like, you could still be performing something that isn't, like, quote unquote attractive, for example. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if we've spoken about this, but there's, and I think especially around social media and stuff, there's definitely a kind of narrative of, if you're showing, like, stretch mark or, like, a real conversation about mental health, then that's not a performance and that's super authentic. Yeah, but it's not necessarily.
No.
Not at all.
This is the thing with almost relatability is this sort of currency now, that not only is beauty a currency and thinness is a currency and whiteness is a currency, it's this idea that if you can show your belly a little bit with, like, two little rolls in or, like, some stretch marks, that is now you're relatable and people should love you for that, which I think I fucking love those posts. Like, I fucking love it so much, but it doesn't mean
it's authentic.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you're an authority on body image either. I think that's one of the things. It means that you have seen that and you're performing that in some ways, and it also means you're celebrating your body, which is the fucking most stunning thing in the world.
Stunning.
You fucking know I could cry at that, but
stunning.
It is something that you've seen before, and it is a performance. Of course it is. Everything is. Instagram is a performance. How can people not? You can't deny that.
That's why I think imposter syndrome is such a thing, because so much of everything is in performance. It's kind of like, do I have a podcast, or am I performing what it's like to be a podcast? Like, how far is this a real authentic conversation between us, and how much is it just us performing recording an episode?
Well, this is like when I met those people the other day. So I had a Zoom call with some people the other day. I'm going to be super vague.
With Hollywood.
In Hollywood. Maybe I should just fucking tell that story. It's so funny.
I think you can. Yeah, you should tell this story. It's funny.
But then I can't tell the second bit of the story.
Oh.
Okay, I'm just going to tell one of the bits of the story. This is a funny bit.
Yeah.
So this doesn't relate to imposter syndrome now, but this is just fucking funny. So I had, like, a little Zoom sort of interview to be, like, writing about films for a zine.
Stunning. Makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense. So stunning. Can't fucking wait. And I said to my housemates, oh, I've got, like, this, like, sort of thing to be a film writer. I'm just gonna, like, go do the interview now. It's, like, some girls in LA. Went into my room.
Off one of I my... go. Blah, blah, blah.
And I was like, right, okay, it's cool. I'm just gonna go. It's, like, in California, blah, blah, blah. I came out, like, sort of 10 minutes later. It was super quick. And my housemate was like, how did it go? Kind of pale as a ghost. How did it go? And I was like, wait, what? Are you okay? Like, what? Like, why are you so nervous? It was fine. And he was like, so what? You're going to be... Are you moving? Like, are you moving to Hollywood?
To be a film writer?
What do you think? He was like, you're going to be writing films. I was like, no. You have
in
got
LA.
The wrong... In LA. He thought it was an interview with kind of... An interview with Hollywood.
He thinks you're on the phone with Harvey Weinstein.
He was literally like, was Quentin Tarantino there? Like, did you come off well?
Margot Robbie was there, but she didn't have any lines.
Just her feet. She had her feet on the thing. It was literally like, it's just that it has nothing to do with imposter syndrome, but it's so fucking funny. Or maybe I can just say the fucking bit.
I think you do say, yeah.
Can I?
I think we can. I think we can say that actually we thought it was funny. We thought that story was hilarious. But also that came up because Zoom meetings, all meetings really, everyone's just performing what you think happens in a meeting. Mm-hmm. You're just performing the bureaucracy of a zine. Like, you're just performing going for an interview.
I think I saw what we used to do in...
You saw us answering our own question boxes on the story.
Literally, because I think when you first start a podcast, like, we started a podcast with no one there. No. And of course, when you're there and you're like, fuck, we need some answers, we used to 100% fucking write in our own shit.
Love you girls.
And don't lie that if you had fucking 10 followers, no way are people writing in. And that, I think, is fine.
Yeah, it's part of the fun, I think. It's part of the growth. Because you have to show up like it's a thing. Otherwise, you're going to quit.
Exactly. And now, of course, many, many, many months ago, it got to the point where we realised we didn't have to do that anymore. And it was like, fuck, okay, like, we're actually a fucking thing.
I promise you these are real, yeah.
And now it's like, I can't fucking move for messages. And the last thing I want to do is add any more. But I think let's not fucking lie that you do need to delude yourself. You do need to feel like an imposter at the beginning. If you're making sort of artwork... You need to fucking believe in your artwork and kind of fucking pretend that you've got a million followers. Mm. Fucking fine, do it. Like, it's fine.
It's part of putting yourself out of your comfort zone, because I think with imposter syndrome, as we say, it comes to you sooner than you're doing the TED Talk. It's even sooner than you've, like, got on the bus or you're in the Sainsbury's self-checkout. Imposter syndrome, I think, kicks in as a kid when you start to learn your place. You start to learn to be small and to be quiet and to keep your standards low and to keep your expectations of your own life small.
Yeah, yeah. And that you believe that you are worth
nothing.
What society thinks you should be worth, which is nothing, i.e. nothing, also aka nothing. When you were a little kid, your teacher said to you, what do you want to be? And it's like, oh, I want to be, name any sort of job, kind of basic job. That's basically what you said. Any variation of these jobs, not going to name any.
I was going to say, we out you. We say your job.
Well, it's kind of the, I don't know. It's like you just say what your parents did. You say what your, and it's like, yeah, of course we don't say. Oh,
well, you say, I don't know. And they said, well, you have to think of something, because when you get out there into the real world, you're going to need to make some money to live. Otherwise, you're going to be nothing. And it's like, no, I'm still going to be nothing. I'm going to be miserable because I did something that you told me to do.
Like, very young, you say things like astronaut, fucking...
Princess.
Fucking knight in shiny armor, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Prince Charming through blistering winds and scorching deserts.
Literally. And then it gets to seven, age 7 or 8. It's funny how early it gets drilled into you. No, you shall be one of these jobs, one of these very understandable, very attainable jobs.
The problem is they're not even that attainable.
Like, that's the
best believe
problem.
You will still get declined from Starbucks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You're not, like, it's not fucking easy to stroll into these quote-unquote attainable jobs. Because the world is so fucked.
So one of the answers that someone wrote in with that just made me laugh was they feel imposter syndrome in the petrol station. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a really specific feeling you get in a space that is kind of a quote-unquote masculine space. Mm. That's kind of, this is something very adult.
You're in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, suddenly Vin Diesel. Is it Vin Diesel? Isn't that kind of, is it The Rock? Is it Vin Diesel? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of a place to get catcalled. I have got catcalled quite a few times in the fucking petrol station, and you always feel like an idiot.
You feel incompetent.
You feel like you're not supposed to be there.
Like you're about to set something on fire or crash into the fucking newspaper stand.
It's like, am I going to light a cigarette in there and like blow the place to smithereens? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. That I can just already tell everyone's thinking, she definitely smokes. I actually don't smoke, but you know, no. it's that thing where it's like someone hears that and is like, she's a heavy smoker now, just fill in the gaps.
Can Seffy tell us more about how she got into smoking?
Seffy, like, you should really quit smoking, by the way. It's like, oh, I don't fucking smoke, it was a joke.
That's not you listening, by the way. That's like, we get weirdos on Instagram.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's not you. That's not you.
It's like, we get, like, we're all on the same page until we get, like, one random person who's, they're just not in the gang, guys. Don't worry about them. It's fine.
But that makes me think we're all not, because then I'm like, oh, God, I can't.
What do you mean?
When basically,
but it's kind of someone's gonna send us a message saying, so how does Wing feel about her addiction to smoking? I was like, no, you've really got the wrong end of the stick.
We just sometimes get some, I think that is kind of an imposter syndrome thing, or like it's someone misinterpreting your identity, because we do, when we get messages that's like, I don't know, just a really random thing of like, so when you guys met when you worked at kind of WH Smith's, we never worked there. Like, it would just be a really random thing.
It's weird, yeah, it's funny.
But I do love that.
It's the best, it's hilarious.
I do love.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But yeah, but you don't smoke anyway, you're completely clean.
But yeah, I think there are certain spaces that enhance it, because someone wrote in predominantly white spaces, like i.e. in their job, at college, in all academic spaces and institutional spaces. So it's literally like, yeah, there are certain spaces that amplify these feelings.
Yeah, I remember I said to you before about, in so for example, if you didn't know, this is a good bit of insight, a bit of Seffy and Wing trivia. We used to live together at uni.
Before we worked at WH Smith's together and took up heavy smoking.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I've said to you before that I, even though you would never have, it would never have even crossed your mind, I felt the incremental differences of being in a house with, what was there, five of us? Yeah, four other white girls, and knowing that it's a white space. My boyfriend went to a work event, this is years ago, this is like before COVID. It's actually, I don't know if it was with Galdem, maybe it's another event, but he was like the only white man in the room. And he said it was a really good experience for him to, it's like the first, he was like over the age of 20 at that point. And it's like, yeah. Wow, to go through your whole life, it just shows, doesn't it? You've gone through your whole life and now you've got a small little taste,
never feeling othered.
Yeah,
and you feel, oh shit, okay,
this isn't my space.
You suddenly feel it.
Yeah, and you learn to shut up, and so then you can understand all of the different ways that everyone in their own different ways is told to shut up. So no wonder we've all got imposter syndrome, when whether we're at the petrol station or in a meeting surrounded by men trying to dominate the space, etc.
It's kind of anything. You're the only gay person in the room, you're the only trans person in the room. You just feel that your experience is being inherently undermined or inherently undervalued,
and being
because
observed.
You're there as either a token on a panel or as kind of the othered minority that's just there like, do I have a voice here? Do I have a place here? And the answer is, of course, yes. But the world tries to make it feel like you don't.
Like, no, yeah.
It's fucked.
It is fucked. Great. Yeah, it's fucked. Fucked. Completely fucked. What's new, hey?
What is new?
I reckon I get imposter syndrome these days pretty often. If I went to see my GP and he gave me on a scale of 1 to 10 circle, how often are your days negatively impacted by imposter syndrome?
Oh, I was going to say, that's a place I have imposter syndrome.
As soon as
I walk through that door, I'm like, I'm not really sick. I'm so sorry.
Absolutely.
I'm so, so sorry for taking up your time.
Phoning in sick to work. Oh my God. I've worked some dodgy jobs in my life and I felt like a big fat fucking fraud calling in sick. Half the time I was a fraud, but still.
And then you end up putting on a sick voice.
Yeah.
You end up going, hi, I'm really sorry, but I can't come into work. You put on a fake fucking ill voice because you're trying to convince yourself.
And they're fuming that you're not there to sell fucking curtains to middle-aged ladies today. It's like, sorry, no. I'm not doing it, Jackie.
Is that what you did? You sold curtains?
I worked at Laura Ashley for a time. It was fucking dire.
Oh, I see.
But I did also have another really nice job in retail that I won't go into because it was actually really pleasant. But for the sake of stories, Laura Ashley is full of white women who want to kill you and they want to kill their husbands. So they're just navigating the world with so much misery and anger. And it all comes back at you because apparently the sale's not on. Not my problem, bitch.
Yeah. When I used to prank call people when I was younger, I always used to pretend I worked in a curtain shop. I was like, hi, this is me from, this is like Linda from curtains.com. I don't try and sell you curtains.
Nice. And what did they say? Great. When will they be here?
I once did it for ages with, it was weird. It was like kind of our thing. Like me and my friends would be like, hey, this is curtains.com. This is Linda or whatever from curtains or carpets as well. We did.
I would be Sarah from Sofas Direct, which I don't know if is a thing. And I would put on a little northern accent.
why did we do such like normal jobs?
We're fucking dumb. We're fucking boring. Got nothing better to do.
aren't prank calls supposed to be a bit funny? We were like actually trying to sell curtains, fictional curtains and sofas.
I remember once I did a prank call of like an automated voice message. Mm. So I was like, you have won £5 million. Press 1 to claim your prize. Press 2 to blah, blah, blah. And the guy was like, sorry, what was point 1? And I was like, press 1. And I like repeated it. And he was like, fuck, you idiot. And I was like, oh,
you absolute idiot.
He caught me out.
Honestly,
he got me.
Caught out. Prank calls were fucking amazing. I used to absolutely fucking love prank calls.
I couldn't hold my laughter.
No, never. Did you do that one that was quite a thing on TikTok recently where you'd get two phones
and put them together? I mean, did you do that to me or you didn't, did you?
I didn't do it to you, but I did it to I thought, should I do it to you?
You said you were going to do it to me with our friend that I fell out with and you were going to put us together on the
just phone. To try and make them friends again. Just like, guys, please make up. And then I'm kind of there crying in the background. Like, I would love if you were friends again. I went for a phase. I think that was first lockdown times. Oh, how it was sweet. Where I'd go around prank calling everyone. And everyone was at home and they were
good times.
They were loving it. They loved to receive a call, I think.
Yeah. The crowd went wild. They were begging for more. Encore. Seffy, give us more.
But in reality, they're like, this fucking bitch like needs to stop fucking calling me every 2 seconds and being like,
they're like,
hello, I'm an old woman.
I'm a baby. Come pick me up.
Hi, this is Linda from curtains and sofas.com. Which sofa would you like? They're like, go away.
Which sofa would you like? What a hilarious prank call.
They're like, how do I see them?
You had a point.
No, you had a point.
Did I? Oh yeah, I did. Great. Let's share the point that I had. It was, I really like this message that we got actually. So on the story, we asked, how does imposter syndrome make you feel? Like, what is your inner critic kind of screaming at you? What are we dealing with here? What's the situ? And I like this one because I can relate. They said that imposter syndrome makes them feel typically frozen and unmotivated, and they don't see life as a full picture. And I think both of those is just like, yeah, relate everything, yeah, spot on. For me, anyway.
Because you start to fragment your life a bit. You're like, these areas I have covered, these areas are a mess. I must work on these areas.
It's kind of dysmorphia.
Yeah, yeah.
You really lose your grip on reality, which is hard enough anyway. It's hard to have a grip on reality because can you? It's just subjective anyway. But
what is reality? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to go down that hole.
I know that sounds wanky, but like, really, what is reality if you think that a lot of things largely are just shaped by your perception or your mindset or your mood or your past experiences? The reality of your day could look one way, and just depending on what mindset you give it, it can very much change the day. Like, I can think of days that, like, on paper shouldn't have been good. Like a science lesson in year 10, double science. On paper, that's awful.
Oh my
but it was
God.
Fucking hilarious. And it was a great old time, right? Because the mindset is like, I'm having a laugh. So it's kind of like, yeah, sometimes things on paper.
Well, the mindset is I don't take this shit seriously. So this is going to be hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And my science teacher used to sit at the back of the class eating paper.
What? Why?
Moving on anyway. It was fucking weird. He used to dress up. Oh God, this is a whole thing.
Go on.
He used to, his girlfriend broke up with him. And the next day he said that because he was so sad, he dressed up a marrow in clothes and slept with it in his bed.
Was he lost? Did he think he was at therapy? Why? Like, did he, what?
Also, what, just what, like, huh? Like, you are a teacher at school. a doctor, no less.
Oh, he's trying to get some cheap laughs out of you guys. Like, you can't be dead serious.
On his first lesson, he tripped over and cut his knee, and he just could never get us back after that.
No, you can never recover from
you
that.
You just can't.
What year were you in?
Like, you're like 9, 10.
Yeah, no. It's not happening, mate.
You've lost it.
Social suicide.
He tripped over fully, and there was like blood going through his...
That's bad.
His like trousers.
That's bad. That's bad.
And obviously, that's so sad now, but I mean, as like a 14-year-old, you can't get them back after that. You're lost. Poor guy.
Jeez.
I think now he has a kid and he's happily married, I've heard. So, well, I don't know if he's happily married. He's married. She's not happily married, that's for sure.
Okay, so frozen and unmotivated, I also liked, because it's true, it can be really like debilitating. And I get this a lot with like perfectionism. It's like, if I can't do it perfectly, then I just can't bring myself to attempt it at all.
Because it's almost like, if this won't represent my best work, then why would it be my work at all?
Yeah.
This will be nothing. It goes in the bin.
A really liberating thing I learned, I don't know where I read this or where this came from, so I'll just take credit of it as my own, I guess. Here it goes, my podcast. It was something like, you could be a genius, you could be amazing at what you do, but not everything you do is amazing work.
Yeah.
You could be the best at something. You could be the best. But not everything you do has to be your best work.
Literally that.
And it's true, like, you don't have to be the best every day. You don't have to be looking fuckable every day. You don't have to be loud every day. You don't have to have all the right things to say every day. Me, what I say to myself before the podcast. I think the consistency is more about just showing up and pushing yourself out of the comfort zone rather than being consistent with perfect things, because that can only set you up for failure.
Well, you're just going to burn yourself out.
Yeah, and you'll burn yourself out like an idiot.
If you're going to keep up that act of perfection, the performance of perfection, really, because there is no such thing, every fucking day, you're literally going to get to the end of that week. I reckon it would last about a week, and you're going to be a heap of crying mess
kind
on
of
the
me.
Floor because it's just going to not have worked out. It's not going to work out for you because you're striving for something that is
doesn't
intangible.
Exist.
You can never reach it. As soon as you set the marker, you reach it and then it just moves away.
Yeah. And also, everyone else probably thinks that you are perfect. Like, everyone else thinks that everything you're doing is perfect. It's just really not that deep. But we find the evidence for what you choose to believe. I'll say it in every episode. Like, we can't get enough, but it's so true. Look, if you're looking to hate yourself or think that something's not good enough, you're going to find the evidence for that.
You'll find it, bitch. Because it's also, there's evidence for everything. It's like, and I think that is part of the imposter syndrome thing as well. If you're feeling insecure and you're on your way to the meeting and you trip over, you've then found the evidence that you're going to fuck up and that you're embarrassing and everyone saw it and it's awful. But if you're feeling good, you're about to go and you trip. I mean, we all trip every day and we just laugh it off. It's fine. It's nothing. So you will find the evidence for what you choose to believe. Because you can choose how you respond to whatever happens to you.
Something that I read recently was something along the lines of, just cut. I just die. The treasure's buried in the... I die. No, something that I read recently was something like, the majority of the work, the crux of it, the heart of the issue is just showing up.
Yeah.
It's like, the rest of it will come. The rest of it is fine. You can deal with it later. But it's like, just pushing that boundary or getting yourself in the room or just getting that essay done and just doing it, just kind of giving in and letting go and just doing it is kind of the hardest thing, but also the main achievement.
It's literally the only bit you can do.
Yeah.
It reminds me of something that our boy Jim Carrey said that I also put in my notes.
Is that three in a row from good old Jim?
I think it could maybe be four in a row. I hate to say it. I don't think it is, but I think it's the Jim. It's Sephian, Wing and Jim now.
It's the Jim effect.
Honestly, it's the Jim effect. So Jim said, Jim, if you don't know who Jim is, Jim Carrey said...
It's really embarrassing to say it's Jim Carrey. They're like, oh, cool. Who's Jim? Jim. We're
who's
like,
Jim?
Oh, Jim Carrey, actually. Don't know if you've heard of him. Pretty niche underground actor.
The word you don't want to follow, Jim, is Carrey. It's like, oh, God, we are in our 50s. I'm so sorry.
We're losers. Yeah, go on.
But Jim Carrey said that.
Something great, I'm sure.
Always great from Jim.
Something life-changing.
Is that you kind of just want that to be Jim from The Office or like something else, but it's...
It's any other Jim is fine.
Any other Jim.
Jim Carrey's a bit much.
Yeah.
Because he's dressed like Date Mike.
notes.
Jim Carrey stuck in 2004. Go on.
He said that it's not your...
Like us, apparently. Go on.
It's not your job to figure out how it's going to happen for you. It's your job to show up, open up your mind, and when the doors open in life, just be there to walk through them.
Oof.
It's so stunning. Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
That was off the top of my head as well.
I can tell.
Not gonna lie, everyone knew.
Oh, I can tell. That was paraphrased.
Everyone knew that that was memorized. But I think it's true. It's not your job to be in the room going, that person there's judging me because I just blinked a bit weirdly at them. That person there thinks that I'm a fucking loser and my boyfriend doesn't like me anymore. And that person there doesn't like my skirt that I'm wearing and blah, blah, blah.
It's kind of your Edward Cullen. Sex, sex, money, sex going around the room. Yeah. Really embarrassing. It's like, get out of people's heads, you freak. It's non-consensual.
Do you know the worst bit of that scene?
Where he's not hungry. She has to eat her soup or something. That makes me uncomfortable.
I don't like what she orders. She orders mushroom ravioli. Sounds great for a little vegan. But I just think it's not hot to order on a date.
Why did I think she was eating soup? Which is even worse.
She gets mushroom ravioli. Because she goes, one mushroom ravioli. Ugh. And she's like, are you sure you don't want to eat?
And he's like, bitch, if you haven't figured out I'm a vampire already.
Yeah.
This confirms it. No, I don't want your stinking ravioli.
That's when he like stops. That's
and he
when
stops all those the people.
That's when she's being followed by those scary men and she's like. She's like, he's like, distract me so I don't turn around. You don't even want to know what's in their head, Bella.
She's like, you should put your seatbelt on or something. He's like, you should put your seatbelt on. He's like, what the hell is going on here?
So fucking
is
weird.
This, are you guys bantering right now? Is this flirting? Literally,
you should really put so your seatbelt on. It's literally like, Bella, what are you talking about?
Give it up, babe.
And she touches his hand. Jeez. And she's like, oh, you're so cold.
Ice cold.
Ice.
It's ice, baby. Jed would come in.
Yeah, I love it. They do have a similar vibe, Edward and John and Edward.
Do they?
Edward and Jedward do have a similar... Edward and Jedward have a similar vibe. I don't know, what maybe it's just same era.
What's the vibe? A bad vibe?
I think I did associate them for a bit. I think it was just same era.
Maybe just because they're called Edward, right?
No, same hair, same hair.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Kind of Jimmy Neutron hair.
That's a better Jim anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, let's go with that. It's so true. Be ready to open the doors. No, be ready to walk through them.
It's not your job to open the doors, Jim says. So it's not your job to figure out what everyone's thinking about you. It's just your job to sit in the meeting, be present, be there with ideas, be authentic, and that's all you have to do. You don't need to figure out after this, are they all going to lunch together and I'm not invited? Ooh. Doesn't fucking matter. None of your business. None of your beeswax.
That does sting though.
Yeah, it does fucking sting. But you don't know. You're literally writing short stories. It's not even true.
Yeah.
That you don't know if everyone's going there. You're just assuming it because there's some little voice in your head, some little fucking evil fucking chihuahua in the back of your head going, did you know actually everyone thinks you're fucking fat in here?
Actually, yeah.
Chilly,
yeah.
You're not invited to fucking lunch?
I think why that hits so different, why that's so painful is because, or why it's just so accurate from Jim, just bars from Jim, and what would we expect? Nothing less. But I think it's so true in that for so many situations of my life, I know now, I look back and I think, fuck, like, on paper, this is what was going on. In the reality of the moment, this was what happening. A fun thing, an exciting thing, a sad thing even. This was the reality of your life. But the whole time, you weren't there. You were in your head. And that's the worst fucking thing, is like going, like I go months on end and I think, shit, I haven't been here the whole time. I've been in my head.
Yeah.
I've been worrying about next month. I've been worrying about next year for months.
I think there was a real time for us when we realised this. Well, I realised it, and it was a time when I was very intensely with you. There was a time in Brighton when we'd graduated and we were just living in Brighton. It was, there was kind of a week where it was just me and Wing, but it felt like kind of we were there together for like 10 years or something.
For a lifetime.
But it was literally like 10 days and it just felt like it was going on forever, but in the best way.
It's been 84 years.
And we'd kind of get up in the morning and go to the beach, eat ice cream, come back and like watch Game of Thrones for like 10 hours and then just like rinse and repeat for like days.
It really was a great old life we'd set up for ourselves in our joint life.
Literally. But I think that time was one of the first times that I felt so intentional.
And being present.
We were waking up every day and being like, I am so fucking grateful for this. Like, I am so, this will pass. And before we know it, we're going to be in the stress of fucking life again.
You know what it was? It was August sipped away like a bottle of wine.
Oh, don't. Don't.
Because it was never mine.
Don't. Oh my God, it really
but it's
was.
But it's so that thing. We really were so present because we knew it wasn't going to last forever. Why does that sound so like deep? It was really like actually quite emotional.
It's kind of, we really did have an affair. Like, your boyfriend's listening to this. Like, what happened in those 10 days? Tell the fucking truth.
There's something you're not saying. I see us twisted in bed sheets or got sipped away like a bottle of wine.
But it's, I think that was one of the first times for me where it was like, well, not one of the first times, but one of the most memorable times where it was like
a standout moment
where it's like, look, we lived that time and we didn't live it in our heads of fear of like what's gonna happen, what, we were alive in that time in Brighton summer 2019.
But I
think before you know it, you're back to everything has got to be perfect again. It's like things aren't ever going
to
be perfect.
Everything has to be perfect for my Dudley's special day. And you're kind of crying your eyes out, like, hot. I'm still getting ready, but I'm hot and sweaty. I'm curling my eyelashes. Oh my God, I ripped my eyelash out. Like, it's like, Jesus Christ, calm down. I can't tell you the amount of times I've been getting ready and my, like, getting dressed and I'm sweating. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's like, jeez, you're a mess. Look at you, you fucking state. Pull yourself together. And my boyfriend's looking at me thinking, Jesus Christ, I did not sign up for this. It's awful.
That's when the performance of perfection slips slightly. The male gaze is like, wait, what?
That's when the imposter syndrome kicks in of like, so why is everyone messaging us saying, you guys are so great, blah, 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 when the reality is I'm getting ready to record going, zipping up my trousers. I can't do it.
Like, please don't make me do this. God, if there is a God out there, please.
Oh, no, my eyeliner. Oh, smash my face down. Like, the chaos. It's like pure like toddler tantrum moments and just so in your head.
And by the end of it, your bedroom is like covered in clothes. Like, you're like, I didn't like that outfit, I didn't like that one, didn't like that one. You're just going through my, like, fucking disgusting. But it's like, actually just fucking take in your life. Like, those, it's so true though. Like, what would Jim say? If Jim could just look at you, he'd go, stop.
Oh, if Jim could see me in that moment.
He'd go, you are attached to identity right now. You're attached to the story you're telling yourself.
If Edward Cullen was reading my mind in that moment.
Oh my God, it's I'm sex, fucked. Sex, money, cat. I don't even know.
I don't know what's going on with that one.
Yeah, I don't even know how to begin to describe what that girl's
what she's doing. Money, money.
Bella's eating her little mushroom ravioli. Like, go on, Edward, say it. What's she thinking? He's like, I don't know, Bella. That is fucking weird.
Fucking hell. He's like, I don't know, but I think we should leave. It's not safe for you.
Whatever you do, don't talk to that girl.
A message that I really liked, and I think would be quite interesting to discuss, they said they get imposter syndrome around their anxiety. They said, my anxiety, exclamation mark, I feel those exclamation marks. I'm on medication and my brain still goes, nah, you're definitely making this up. Which I just thought was really interesting because, and it's kind of what I keep saying about your feelings are valid. But we're told to minimize so much that, like, even in something so real, something like medical, and I think we get that quite a lot, especially like women in medicine, and I'd say especially Black women, is that you're not believed, you have to fight for like fucking years and years and years and years and years, and then get diagnosed with endometriosis like 10 years late. It's not a coincidence, is it? I feel that in the sense of what I was saying the other day about, I feel like I get imposter syndrome if I'm annoyed at someone.
Oh, that's really, what is in, you feel that you're not valid to feel annoyed?
Yeah, I feel like I don't have the right to be like upset with anybody, or I don't have the right to be annoyed with anyone.
Oh, wow.
Do you get what I mean? Because it's kind of like, well, you're just like lucky that they could be.
You almost would convince yourself.
Yeah, you deserve it, I guess.
Yeah, not you. One would convince themselves that it's like, no, I must somehow be in the wrong here.
Yeah.
Like, I must somehow have like misread or something like that. I think I definitely convince myself that I've misread things quite a lot.
Yeah.
Usually because I sometimes have.
Yeah, usually because you misread things like all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's kind of my thing. It's kind of my whole thing, guys.
But it's true. Yeah, it's kind of your, yeah.
I think with arguments in particular, because emotions are so high, kind of your rational thinking goes out of the window a little bit. So you can't really see what is really happening because you're so like hurt yourself, like, I'm angry, I'm blah blah blah, so you almost,
but even not in the argument.
Oh, interesting.
It's like I wouldn't even have an argument, like,
but when you're triggered,
Yeah, growing up, I would be upset at someone and not... It's like, are you not confrontational? Fine. Or are you just a massive people pleaser who doesn't allow their emotions to be valid because you're so concerned with making sure that everyone else is okay and everyone else likes you and you don't want to bring a problem to anybody? It's like, no, actually, you can be annoyed at people and you can confront people on their shit. Which I have obviously learned loads.
I think it's healthy too.
Oh, it's so healthy too. It's needed.
Yeah, it's needed.
But I think it's taken me like a long time to learn that. And I still get those moments of like, oh, come on, no. You're probably just being ridiculous, blah, 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 blah.
That's the thing. I think things don't need to come up as, when you said that thing, it made me...
It's you gaslight yourself. It's that situation.
So fucking true. So fucking true.
Because I think you made a really good point in the sexual assault episode where you say that you gaslight yourself the way that society would gaslight you, and you say,
yeah,
no, it's probably nothing, you read it wrong, whatever, get over it.
Yeah, like, why, he's a nice guy, why would that ever happen to me? But I think it definitely is the same with arguments, you're right, or like feeling triggered or upset
and kind of anxiety or just all things, just any kind of feeling, you convince yourself that it's not valid. I brought you here today to tell you that your feelings are valid.
It's like, oh, I'm just tired today. It's Mercury retrograde. Like, we're in a pandemic. Like, of course I'm feeling like this. It's like, no. Like, maybe it's not kind of course I just got a trigger around that. Maybe they did act like a fucking dick.
Yeah.
And that's fucking fine. You're allowed to be angry at them.
Yeah, you're the authority in your own life. You have the right to be here. I think that's the whole, the crux of the issue with imposter syndrome is you're apparently an imposter, but no, you're not at all. You're completely the authority in your life. If not, then who is? You're not Britney Spears. It's not, you're not under, like, the warranty of your dad. That's not it. It's, you are the authority in your own life.
Ugh. And that's, I mean, I think there are some days where it's like, you fucking need to hear that. Like, you are the authority in your own life.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Let that sink in. Open that door wide open. Bring that bathroom set in. Bring in that porcelain sink, babe.
You are the authority in your own life. There is no one, there's no fucking person making decisions for you. Mm-hmm. Or there's no fucking person going, like, you actually made all the wrong decisions there.
Nobody's coming, Harry. You fucking loser. Do something. I'm talking to myself.
Nobody's coming, Sarah. Nobody's coming, Emma. Let's go for the names. Nobody's coming, Emily.
Oh, wow.
No one's coming, Jasmine. We're going through names here.
Nice.
But you're like, say my name. Sorry, that was four names.
Kind of the classic thing growing up, never finding your name on the...
Oh my God. Well, there's no chance of finding Persephone. There's not a chance.
Exactly, yeah. It was actually really shit. Anyway, are we done? Are we done here or no?
I think we're done. When we start talking about weird magnets that have names on, I think we're done.
Exactly, yeah. But they were very like spongy, like cups or something. It was a very... Do you know what I'm talking about? They were like bright pink and purple.
I know the exact material because it was the same as my brownies badge.
Brownies badge?
When you're in brownies and rainbows and guides, and I went all the way up to rangers. Real loser.
Real loser. Here we go. Maybe you don't deserve this podcast. Maybe you are an imposter here.
Someone that did rangers is not allowed to have a podcast. That's for absolute certain. But it was quite cool. Like, I definitely felt quite cool. We were definitely the cool kids of rangers. Not that that's hard.
Also, you were in a small, like, kind of village. It was a very cutesy moment, I think. I think that's a fun time.
It was an absolute blast. I got to do so much. Yeah, you kind of got these badges and they were the same material as those.
Oh, got you. I was thinking of the badges that go on the sash. So it's like a sewn thing.
Oh, no. Those are like your awards badges. Like, if you got like... kind of a performance badge, you would sew that on.
A camping badge.
That's more of a brownies vibe.
Right. Oh, you're too old for that. I get it. You're too mature. That's fine.
I'm not sewing on badges.
Well, I mean, basically, if you're feeling like the imposter, don't. Hope that helps. Bye.
Don't at all. Yeah, no, literally don't. Well, it's also like, think of Jim.
What would Jim fucking say to you?
You're putting on your makeup, you're sweating buckets, and you're stressed. You're going to the big meeting, you're about to open that laptop to go on the Zoom call. Just think, Jim's there.
That's quite nerve-wracking.
Jim's there. He's going, I got the power. He's sexually assaulting everyone who sees. He's lifting up your skirts for the power of God.
I'm quite nervous. If I'm getting ready for a Zoom and I open my laptop and I see in the back of the frame Jim Carrey standing behind me, he's been watching me the whole time. I'm shitting myself. I'm more nervous than I was to begin with.
Same.
Kind of, I'm like, who's that behind you?
Yeah, it's kind of worst case scenario.
It's Jim.
And it's a man. It's like, it's a tall man. It's the worst case scenario, but then it's, then you see the face, it's Jim, and you just feel instantly secure.
It's so true.
You feel instantly like, Jim, I've needed this hug my whole life.
Since I saw you sexually assault that woman.
Mm.
And Jennifer Aniston didn't want to hear it, but I did.
I knew I needed your validation in my life.
At 7 years old.
But I, as a victim of the patriarchy, knew that I needed to be cast. At 7 years old, knew that I would one day aspire to play Hot Girl One in Bruce Almighty.
Stunning. Should we talk about how we can be doing the work?
Yeah, we haven't done a doing the work in fucking years. Yonks.
You know, because I haven't been doing the work. I've
no.
been a hot fucking mess.
The work has not been done.
The work hasn't been done. I think the work this week is, do you think you can get yourself in a situation, like in, you know, like kind of get yourself into a call that you're a bit nervous about or like...
I'm doing a scary thing this very late afternoon.
Oh, you are? Well, do you want to tell us about it?
No, because they might be listening. So, podcast over.
No, come on.
Really?
Well, you're going on a date. They don't know when you recorded this.
Well, there we go. She said anyway. I'm going on a date this afternoon. Quite, not nervy, but I definitely would rather not go.
You definitely, how do I put this? Don't want to go.
I definitely would rather do anything else than go.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say feedback on that and then I thought, don't even say it because she won't.
No, I can feedback, I guess, whatever.
We take what we can get from you and we appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky to even hear your voice.
You are, and remember that every fucking time you you open this podcast, remember you're fucking lucky.
Remember. Don't you dare take her for granted.
You're fucking lucky to hear a bit of weird shit about Jim Carrey.
For free! For $3.99.
Yeah, $3.99. Right, what are you gonna do though? I wanna know your little thing.
I'll have to think of something.
Okay, fun. Oh, we'll feed back in the next app, I guess. That's so fun.
Feedback in the next episode. See you there.
See you there, guys.
Hopefully we won't have to re-record that one like 10 times.
I can't.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.